Everybody, thank you for our choir and orchestra and our praise men. Bill, I appreciate you doing double duty as our orchestra and conductor, and he's taking the place of Mark Winstead, our minister of music, while he is on a one-month trip to England with his wife and son who just graduated from high school. And next week, we'll have more help up here on the stage leading our service. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 6. I'll read the text as I go through the message. This is my 43rd Father's Day to preach. And you know, I'm an expert on family and marriage and parenting since we don't have any children. So I've got an objective look on marriage and parenting. Well, this is a text I've never used on Father's Day, but I want to talk to you about fatherhood kingdom style. On April the 10th, 2022, Scotty Scheffler won the Masters Golf Tournament. It's interesting that just 2 weeks prior, in March, he won the WGC Match Play Championship. That meant that he became ranked the number one golfer in the entire world. 2 weeks later, he wins the Masters. But sandwiched in between the WGC number one ranking and the Masters, his dad had a talk with him. Now understand that Scheffler is a practicing Christian young man, and he has some boundaries that he doesn't cross. His daddy came to him before he won the Masters, and here's what he said. He said, "Son, I love you. You're an excellent golfer. But I'm more proud of the Christian man that you are than a professional golfer. Son, I'm proud of you. I love you." That meant more than winning almost $2 million with the Masters. That meant more than that trophy you saw him holding in his hands. That is a memory invested in him by his father that that young man will take with him to his grave. When you turn to 1 Thessalonians in this particular section, Paul is giving a positive message to the young church there at Thessalonica. He says, "I'm excited because you've accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord. You've been open to the gospel." If you read that chapter, you'll see that he says, "I want to commend you because you've followed my leadership, Paul's leadership, and the other missionaries I have working here with you." And he says, "I could have used my authority as an apostle to order you to do certain things, but you haven't done that. You've already serving Lord Jesus Christ out of love and adoration for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So he says, "What I'm here to do today is simply to encourage you." I looked at this text a little bit further. And you say, "Well, why in the world would you use this on Father's Day?" Read the text. We're going to read this in just a few moments. He said, I treated you like a mother treats her nursing baby. And then he says, "I treat you and I've treated you on this visit like a father would take care of his son." So what he uses is a family analogy or background to encourage this new church. But when you study this carefully, you'll glean from this some encouragement and positive recommendations and principles for fathers in the 21st century. As we look here in verse 6, he says, "We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority over you." He said, "We were not looking praise. We worked hard among you, but we were very gentle, like a mother caring for her child. He says, because we loved you, we were happy to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ with you. And he said, we worked hard while we were with you day and night. And we didn't want to be a burden to you. We wanted to model godly lives in front of you. Look at verse 7. Instead, we were like young children among you, just as a nursing mother cares for her children. So he says, we were very gentle. They were not hellfire and brimstone with their preaching. They're very informative, very loving, empowered by the Holy Spirit. He said, so I've just used a parenting example to get the godly principles across to you that now that you've been saved, how you ought to live a Christian life. Now listen to me carefully. Every child needs a dad. And every dad needs to step up and be a man and be a dad to his children. Notice the first thing, you need to be gentle with your children. A child needs a dad who is gentle. Now, the Bible teaches this. A dad has to be tough and he has to be tender. And a dad sometimes has to be velvet, but other times he's got to be steel. Some are tough and not tender. Some are tender and not tough. And for some men who watch a lot of John Wayne movies, it's hard for them to be tender at any time. So you have to be very, very careful to get a balance right there. Your kids need a father who cares. Now, Paul was a very strong man. On one occasion, Paul was out preaching the gospel, and the people, the Jews, rose up against him. They stoned him and beat him and left him for unconscious. And when he came through and felt a little better, his cohort said, what are you going to do? He says, I'm going to get up and go into town and finish my sermon. Now, that's a tough dude. He would face all kind of difficulties, but he said, I'm tender like a mom caring for her little children. Moms are known for gentleness. Dads sometimes are not. So what this passage says, and what I believe the Bible teaches, that men are to develop also their tender side. We can go back to the Jewish families. They believed in having their meals together. Today was just sort of catch as catch can when it comes to meals for most families. You got your sports schedules, you got your business, you got your social, and if you're retired, you're going to the doctor 5 times a week on 6 different days. So just everybody's busy. But back in those days, in biblical times, the Jewish families met together for a meal. Well, the primary purpose was so that they could eat. They could get physical nourishment. But it's also a time when the dad act as the spiritual head of the family. If you were there at his table and you're a teenager, he would have a question for you. Who are you hanging out with? I want to know about your playmates and your playpens, and you better tell the truth. Have you been reading the Word of God? Have you been memorizing Scripture? And then one of my favorite times when we would meet at a meal, because we always ate together, Dad would assign task that we had to do for the weekend. There wouldn't be any baseball, football, or basketball. We'd be plowing in the garden, or we'd be shelling peas and butter beans, or hauling rocks in our radio flyer wagon, building a dam somewhere. Well, that's what happened in the Jewish home when they had a meal. It was a time that Dad was the accountability partner for the children. A Jewish family just didn't sit at the table to eat. Rather, it was a place for a man to listen, to teach, and to lead his family. And there were other times for those things to occur as well, but those were the most intense occasions for the family really to bind together. So every child needs a dad who is steel and who is velvet, who is tough and is tender. But let me tell you what happens if you'll be tough and tender if you'll be velvet, and then you will also be steel. You will instill in your children stability and security that they won't get anywhere else. I'm amazed when I talk to young people sometime that they're insecure about themselves, they lack people skills, they don't have direction, and they don't know how to stand for Bible-based principles. Well, a lot of that's not their fault. They have to have a dad to exemplify that. You give them boundaries, but you also give them blessings. So every child needs a dad who is gentle, and you also need a dad who knows when to be firm. And then the love with your children. If he love destroys the very things that a child needs from you as a dad. What a child needs is to say, I love you, period. No ifs, ands, or buts. I love you, period. Whether you cooperate with me or not, I still love you. Whether you're the most beautiful child or not, I still love you. Whether you make first team on the volleyball team, football, baseball, soccer, whatever you're doing, whether you're first string or not, I still love you. If you make some bad decisions in life, I still love you. You see, that's the way God loves us. There's nothing that we can ever do to interrupt, to stop God's love coming upon us. Now, there's another sermon out here. There's something that's called tough love. And that's something sometimes you have to exercise so you don't enable your children to continue to make bad decisions. But even if they've made bad decisions, they're still your flesh and blood. And they have got to know that regardless of what you do and what you become, you still love your children. Now, how do you do that? It was just four little things I wanted to want you to write down. First of all, Dad, make sure you've trusted Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Make sure that you confessed your sins, turned away from your sins, believe Jesus is the perfect Son of God, live a perfect life, died on the cross, willingly gave his blood as a sacrifice for our sins, rose again the third day, so we be assured eternal life in heaven with him. But the first thing you need to do is trust Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Second thing you need to do is be a practicing Christian. Display what it means in your house, outside of your house, wherever you go, whatever you do. Make sure you display in front of your children what it means to live a godly life, spirit-filled, and led by the Word of God. Third thing you need to write down is this. It's just really very simple. Is that you need to, number three is you need to know and do the will of God in front of your children. I can't tell you how many young people I talk to and say, well, I'm going to college. I don't know what I'm going to do with my degree. Well, that's not unusual. I mean, I went to college and studied business management. I was going to become a corporate lawyer. And then I got saved. I don't know how many lawyers are going to heaven anyway, but I know there's a lot of them that are because they're blood-bought. The lawyer that represents our church, and then the lawyers that are in our church, they're heaven-bound because they got a personal relationship with Christ. But I'm just telling you, I can't go before a jury and a judge and lie for somebody that is guilty. I just can't do that. And I was going to be a corporate lawyer, and then I found out in accounting, how to lie with accounting. So I thought, I'm not going to lie for corporations either. But then God called me after I was saved to do this. But you've got to know what God's will is for your life and live that out in front of your children so they'll know some principles on how to discover God's will for their life. And this is something I want you to write down. Please put this down in your notes on your phone. When Dad is a practicing Christian, I mean, he has devotions, he's a soul winner, he just displays the fruit of the Spirit, and he's not perfect. He's going to lose his temper sometime, But he's velvet and steel. He's involved in Bible studies, small groups. He's involved in worship. When you have a dad like that, 75% of the time, their children follow in their footsteps and they remain faithful believers throughout their lives. That's a pretty good percentage. But when only mother, just mother, dad's not participating, mom is a dedicated believer, spirit-filled, following the word, she's in Bible study, she's in worship, listen, mom has to be steel and sometimes she has to be velvet. If it's just mom doing that alone, statistics show us now that only 15% of your children will remain true to their faith in Jesus Christ for the remainder of their lives. God called the man to be the spiritual head of the family. Now listen very carefully. We need to admit our failures and our mistakes as parents. That doesn't mean they have to know everything. But there's some things that you just might want to share. Now, why would you share with your children as they get older? You want to do that so that they will avoid some of the mistakes that you made that came with consequences. Now think about it today. If you're a new parent and your parents will share that with you and you'll get in God's word and follow his blueprint, you new parents have got an opportunity to do it right. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to have your failures. But if you're not honest about your own mistakes and the consequences of those mistakes and the scars from those mistakes, because what you hide from your kids may actually come out in your children later on. I know you get tired of hearing about my dad, but I didn't have but one. Sometimes I just need to hear it again. My sister posted his picture on Facebook. I don't get Facebook. My wife does. And my sister had a great caption under there, and the phone died before we could get it up there for you. Now, Dad was raised on a farm. He flew Hellcats and Corsairs off aircraft carriers in the Navy. They were blowing up enemy subs in World War II. He went to work for Southern Bell. That would be AT&T for you today. He went out on a line gang 5 days a week. They were gone. They were putting up telephone poles and stringing wire with picks, shovels, and post hole diggers for $20 a week. He finally made it to the test center. He was a serviceman going in house. This is when you had a cord on your phone and a rotary dial. It may have been back in the time when you just clicked where the receiver hung and asked for Sarah to call Barney or Thelma Lou. I'm not sure. But anyway, he finally made it to the test center. Now, the test center, the cable repairman would call him when they had some cable that were cut. He'd tell them which one went to which circuits. And then also, when they were in a house and they fixed a phone, they would call the test center. Now, that headset he had was not wireless. Every time he sat down, he had to plug it into a hole. And then he had a rotary dial where he had to call everybody. You know, the servicemen, customers. But the one thing that was legal for him to do was tap your phone. He could do that in the name of testing. He could just click in onto your conversation and sit there and listen. And I can't tell you how many times I was on the phone with my girlfriend at home and I was giving her my best line. And I heard this little click and I kept on with my line and she's melting on the other end of the line and this voice says, "Son, I'm on my break. Is your mama there? I need to speak to her just a minute." Now, I don't know how much of my line he heard. That's just not fair. And I think that ought to be illegal, don't you? And so, but anyway, that was his favorite job. But he worked there 46 years. He loved his job. And the only reason he retired at 66 is they moved his office from Augusta to Savannah. And he was a company man. He was a man of honesty, integrity. He treated our mother like a lady. He believed in capital punishment with his children. And the other thing, when mama died, I put it in the bulletin for you today, he looked at us and said, "Children, I have finished my mission here on this earth." But let me tell you a little something I've never told you before. He told me one time about some things he started doing while he was in the Navy that he had no business doing. And he said, "When I got out of the Navy, I decided I had to be more disciplined if I was going to be a good husband and then later on a good father." And because of the things he said that he emptied out of his life, that had a positive effect on his children and also on the way that he loved his wife with all of his heart. I have been the benefactor from his admission and the problems he had in his life that he was man enough to correct. And then look at verse 8, talking about being a practicing Christian. "So we cared for you because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well." He says, because we love, we share the good news of the gospel. You know, there's no reason in the world that mom or dad, that you shouldn't be the one that leads your child to a saving knowledge of Christ. It's all right to let your Sunday school teacher do that, or your children's minister, or your youth minister, or your pastor, or some of your other staff people. But some of you parents out here know exactly what I'm talking about. If you were there the day, you remember the day and the time that your child gave their heart and life to Jesus in front of you, that is a precious memory. You can't even put a monetary price upon the rest of your life. The other thing you need to do is get into the kingdom principles. They need strong spiritual roots. When we went to the Holy Land years ago, we went to the Garden of Gethsemane. There were some olive trees there. Listen to me carefully. There were some olive trees that were over 2,000 years old and still bearing fruit. Now, some of you got ferns on your front porch that you haven't worn. You hadn't watered in a week, and they're almost dead, right? So they don't even last through the growing season this year. But these olive trees have been there for over 2,000 years and still producing olives. Well, why is that? Well, we ask, and they said, well, the people who planted them did it properly. And there have been people who come along through the years and they have properly cared for them and pruned them and made sure they were fertilized and got the proper amount of water. And they've got deep roots, and there have been many storms and many droughts. But the roots are so deep, they're still productive trees. Listen to me. As a kingdom man, one of the greatest things that you can offer your children is spiritual depth and stability. I was reading the other day a story that Tony Evans wrote years ago. He said that he went back to see his mom and dad. He said they were in their 80s at this time. He said, "I took my children with me." So my mom and dad, just godly people. But he said we grew up in a working class neighborhood, but said the neighborhood had changed. A lot of gangs, a lot of drugs. Mom and dad are still there. So he said, "I sat down on the front porch with dad, with my children, and we were out there just rocking away, watching traffic go by, and all of a sudden the police showed up. There was a drug bust down the street, and said one of the police officers had to get on foot and chase one of the drug runners, and in my daddy's front yard," he said, "the police officer tackled the guy, got him in a chokehold and pulled a gun to his head, and assistants came, they arrested him and took him to jail." Tony Evans said, man, this just wasn't the neighborhood I grew up in. So he said, one morning I went to see my mom and dad in that neighborhood. It was dawn, daybreak. He said there were 10 police officers down at the end of my mom and dad's street on the SWAT team going to burst into a house and do a drug bust at dawn. So he said, when I went in to eat breakfast with my mom and dad, I said, Dad, you know, this is not the same neighborhood you raised us kids in, and said, it's a little dangerous for you and mom in your 80s. Why don't we sell this house and y'all get out? Is what his dad said. He said, son, he said, we've trusted God all these years, and he's protected us in this house. He said, I don't want to leave this house. This is my home. God's never forsaken us then. He's not going to forsake us now. We shall not be moved. Now, let me give you a little tip. If you're about to have to take care of your parents because they can't take care of themselves, don't offer any suggestions that's not their idea first, because they ain't going to take it. They're not interested. But Tony Evans said, my dad's faith was so strong. It's the kind of faith he modeled for us. He said, this is where we stay until Jesus takes us home. How do you know if you're ready to be a father? A man named Matt Tullis wrote his son a little note. Here's some of the excerpts I just want to read to you. He said, I've learned the hard way that manhood is not an age, but a choice. A boy is selfish. A man is sacrificial. A boy speaks easy lies, and a man speaks hard truth. A boy has a foul mouth, relying on a few vulgar words to communicate a myriad of messages. A man uses a robust vocabulary to solve a myriad of conflicts. A boy refuses to listen with an open mind. A man listens much and talks very little. A boy is controlled by anger. A man channels his anger to create godly change. The pleasure of a boy is unbridled and thoughtless. A man lives for a cause that ultimately brings him more pleasure than anything a boy could ever imagine. Life is difficult, and once you accept that, you'll find that it's not too difficult to handle. And then he finished by telling his son this: you're loved, accepted, and celebrated. Today, I regard you as a man. Now it's your turn to change the world. And Dad, that's your God-ordained duty, to be the spiritual head and teach your children about Jesus, how to love him. You're not force feeding them. And if you operate out of a love for the Lord Jesus Christ, when you serve him and you live according to his words, you'll be building some strong olive trees with your sons and daughters to carry on kingdom work long after God has taken you home. I'm so thankful for the dads that we have in this church who unashamedly stand for the gospel. If we're having vacation Bible school and they're off, they're here working with their kids. If we're having some special night for our teenagers, or if we're doing a sportsman banquet, we've got godly dads leading the way. May God bless you as you follow the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's stand right where we are. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. Very simple message. Thank you for giving us the model of fatherhood with yourself. And we think about sacrifice. We think about what you did by giving your only son to sacrifice for our salvation. Thank you for Christian dads who are standing against the culture right now to teach and live eternal truths before the precious gifts the children that they've been blessed with in their homes. Here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior, I want to invite you to do so. Whosoever calls on His name shall be saved. If you're here today and you've accepted Christ as Savior, need to be a candidate for baptism and church membership, we invite you to come. Some of you have been our guests for a while. God's placed it on your heart that Pleasant Valley South is the place to plant your spiritual gifts, where you'll be able to affect lives locally, nationally, and internationally. We pray that you come. Lord, I want to thank you in advance for public and private decisions that are about to be made in the Family Life Center and here in the Worship Center. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Over in the Family Life Center, the contemporary service, Eric and Richard are coming forward with the praise band. If you're uncomfortable coming forward, they will meet with you at the Connect desk at the east side of the Family Life Center after the service. If you're uncomfortable coming forward, as Warren's going to join me up here, just meet us at the welcome desk just after the service. You know, last Sunday I had a lady come to me and her husband, they were from out of town. And they looked at me with tears in their eyes and they said, "Our two sons are atheists. They live in another state and they won't even talk to us anymore. Can we pray for their salvation?" And we just stopped right there in the welcome center and they were in tears praying for those two sons. Before she left, I gave her a book. Before she left, I gave her one she could send to her sons. And she said, "But they won't accept anything from us." I said, "All you can do is pray for them and make the offer. It's up to them to say yes or no." You know, there's some prayer concerns on your heart that you're uncomfortable coming forward about. Just meet us at the desk. We'll pray with you. If you want to join at the desk, you can join there or down here. It doesn't matter. If you're listening on your electronic device, call 706-234-1841. Leave a message. We'll get back to you as soon as we possibly can. Bill's leading us now. You come as God speaks to your heart.